Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, we're previewing the NFL draft because we are just moments away from that, getting kick-started on Thursday night. Eric Galco joins us from Sporting News and Optimum Scouting to help us break down the draft and some of the storylines that you'll see on Thursday night in Chicago. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well.
All right, let's talk about the draft class overall, because there's going to be 25 guys that are going to be in attendance, all hoping to get on stage. When you looked at this draft class overall, is this a very good draft class? Is it okay? How do you grade them out?
Yeah, I think it's a very top-heavy class, first and foremost. We see, after the top two quarterbacks, as many as 8, 9 elite talents in this class, depending on which team you ask. And that's pretty unique, right? There's only usually 3 or 4 guys that are really special in this class. This one has 8 or 9 that we know of. Certainly, there's always late first round or even day 2, day 3 picks end up surprising. So we have a lot of guys that we think teams are excited about early on. So that's unique. And while it's not sexy, this class is deep at defensive tackle, at pass rusher, and on offensive one, especially offensive tackle early on, and offensive guard in day 2 and 3. So I think at the least sexy positions, it's very, very deep. I think smart teams will draft a lot of offensive, defensive linemen throughout this draft class, but really the top 10, 12 picks are really exciting for teams who want to add a top talent.
All right, let's talk about the quarterbacks, because this is where the draft is going to get defined in years down the road, how Jared Goff and Carson Wentz do in their NFL careers. Beggars can't be choosers, so if you need a quarterback, this is what you get. But are the teams, the Rams and the Eagles, are they getting top NFL stars here, the potential NFL stars?
You know, they could be. Certainly, I think it's possible with quarterbacks. And really, quarterback development is almost more important than what the quarterback scouting report is. It's about having the tools in place, the team in place, the coaching in place to get the most out of these guys. And, you know, a lot of quarterbacks throughout the league and every draft process can be special in that situation. That all said, I'm not sure Jared Goff is set up for success in Los Angeles with just a running game, really no receivers in place, a lot of pressure on him, coming from an offense that hasn't really produced a lot of quality NFL quarterbacks, and he doesn't have great arm talent, and he's a bit slight and undersized. So all those reasons, I have real pause about Jared Goff being worth the first overall pick. Then Carson Wentz, you know, the issues that come from a small school program isn't why I'm worried about him. It's more so what he wasn't asked to do there. I think his anticipation, his timing is going to be off when he goes from college on to the NFL level. It'll take some time. He'll get that in Philadelphia, but again, a lot of pressure already. He's causing issues by being the pick with Sam Bradford wanting out. Chase Daniel going to be there, but he'll probably be forced out at some point early on his rookie year. So I think both those guys enter situations that look good on paper, not necessarily great news for them moving forward. And I still think at the end of the day, Paxton Lynch will be the best quarterback in this draft class.
Eric, you watch college football differently than I do. I see players and I go, oh, he'll probably make a good pro, and you see more of the nuances of the player. Carson Wentz, I didn't get to see him much at North Dakota State, and I knew about him but didn't know a lot about him. But he could possibly be the number 2 overall pick in this draft. Is that surprising?
You know, it's surprising. I think for a lot of teams it was unexpected because, you know, the evaluation companies, NFL teams rely on Bledsoe and National through their preseason scouting, had him ranked as undrafted guy. So I think that's surprising, as in teams weren't expecting it either for him to be this top player. But it's the 6'5 size. It's the mobility that reminds of a Joe Flacco with a strong arm. It's the mental makeup of running an offense at North Dakota State. It's the winning ability. But I think in a lot of ways, and what really emphasized the Eagles moving up to secure him, is his off-the-field character. He's a guy who's very religious, who's very respected by his teammates, who's a hard worker, who loves to watch film. And those things are a sign of a quarterback worth developing and worth getting to. So is he worth number 2 overall pick? I don't think anyone really believes he's that. But he's a guy that Eagles feel, hey, we're not far away from being a playoff team. We can win now. But we've got a guy here that we feel that all the signs point to him being a franchise quarterback.
I got to ask this question because you brought up something interesting, and it's called coachability. Have you seen the way players prepare for the draft, especially at the quarterback position, the way they prepare for their interviews and the way they prepare in front of the NFL scouts? How much is the coachability angle emphasized to the scouts and to the general managers, especially with quarterbacks?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge part of the process. I think for quarterbacks in particular, it's less about are they coachable? Because if you're not coachable as a quarterback, teams are going to see right through that and ask team people around and not let them in the first 4 or 5 rounds. I think for coachability in terms of just the want to, that's very true for a lot of players that go on day 2 and day 3 of the draft. The team feels they can get the most out of this guy or the best yet to come in terms of developing. That's a huge issue. But I think for quarterbacks, it's more about, do we feel the connection with this quarterback? Is this the guy we want to you know, to quote ride or die with as our franchise. You know, Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson for the Eagles and Les Snead and Jeff Fisher for the Rams are tied to these quarterbacks for their careers. If Carson Wentz ends up being a bust, Howie Roseman may not have a job anymore. And same for Les Snead and Jeff Fisher for Jared Goff. So I think that's why quarterback interviews are so much different, because it's more about job on the line as opposed to do we like this guy or not. And that's why quarterbacks always get pushed up the board. It's why quarterbacks were traded for 1-2 in this draft. That's why quarterbacks define franchises and ownership and things like that for their success.
Eric Galco joins us, Sporting News and Optimal Scouting, on the NFL Draft Thursday night in Chicago for round one. So now we got the age-old question, which is when teams draft, do they draft need or best player available? And that question I want to ask about the San Diego Chargers, because now they're going to have the pick of everybody else in that from all the positions. They don't need a quarterback, so everything else is on the board for them. Do they go best player or do they go need? How do you see the Chargers picking at three?
Yeah, I'm laughing now because it's, you know, still we're only about less than 24 hours away from the draft, and I had heard really since January and February that DeForest Buckner was the top player on their board. They felt he was the character guy they wanted in the locker room to help rebuild that defense moving forward. They felt he would complete their defensive front seven in a lot of ways and be a foundational piece. But as I make calls the last couple of days, Ronnie Stanley of Notre Dame, the offensive tackle, comes up. They're going to be Tunsil of Ole Miss. I actually sent out three texts before I came on today. One said Buckner, one said Tunsil, one said Stanley. A couple of people said they're not sure who they're taking yet either. So I think it's still up for grabs. I think Buckner's the best fit. I've heard that the longest based on late action. I've talked to people. I think it's going to be Stanley third overall. There's a real chance the Chargers trade out of that pick, maybe with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars come up, get Jalen Ramsey, and the Chargers still get their guy, whoever that might be, at fifth overall. But, you know, the last three times, the first and second pick overall were traded. The third overall pick was also traded in that draft. So I think we could see that again on draft day. But the Chargers, even though they have their pick of the litter for what talent they want, it's still up for grabs on which player they actually desire.
What pick and what team interests you the most in the first round? Maybe they got a lot in play. Maybe there's rumors that they'll trade. Maybe they don't know. You know, they're so wide open. What pick in the least first couple of picks is really intriguing to you?
Yeah, I'll say two if that's all right. I'll say the 49ers at seven and the Browns at eight. Because mostly, I'm not sure where Paxton Lynch goes on draft day. He's, again, my top quarterback. I know of three other teams who feel he's a top quarterback overall in this class. So I think there's a handful of teams that will look up to move to get him. But is seven the pick? I know Chip Kelly. I think if Chip Kelly was in charge, he might pick Paxton Lynch. But Trent Baalke's in charge of that front office. So I think Baalke might want to say, hey, you know what? We'll find a quarterback later. We'll build Kaepernick. We'll make it work and add talent to this draft class. But that's an option. The Cleveland Browns, I don't think, want Paxton Lynch at eight overall, but does the team move up to seven or eight to get Paxton Lynch? So I think seven, or I think regardless, the Cleveland Browns want to move down, want to add more draft picks. I think a lot of teams will want to go to that eight spot, whether it's Miles Jack, Ezekiel Elliott, Joey Bosa, Laremy Tunsil, Ronnie Stanley, whoever, one of those guys will fall to that pick at eight, and the Cleveland Browns will ask for a lot of draft picks in return. And I Cleveland for a second, they've moved down from two to eight. I think they don't want to just stockpile a ton of picks and just have 15, 16 draft picks. They want to have as many top 75 draft picks as possible. So we'll see them move down probably from eight to someplace else. But they'll use those fourth and fifth round picks they've accumulated and get back up to that top 100, top 75 overall.
Yeah, is Michigan State's Connor Cook, is he on the board for the first round? I heard that Denver may like him. Is he on the board for the first round?
Yeah, he's a good fit in Denver. The Cleveland Browns, I've been told, like him. I think the Browns' tie is primarily because they want a quarterback to kind of play behind Robert Griffin, be an NFL-ready guy. And we saw Hugh Jackson last year advocate for A.J. McCarron to be the draft pick, and they ended up picking him in the fifth round at Cincinnati. So now Hugh Jackson kind of gets a better version. You know, from my scouting report and doing a lot of work on Connor Cook and talking to his family members, talking to friends of his family members, teams in Michigan State, players there, there's a real bad vibe with Connor Cook being a franchise quarterback. And, you know, people ask about his leadership, the people who are standing up for him, point to the wins and the big games. That doesn't mean much in the NFL. Every quarterback's going to have ups and downs, mostly downs more than ups, for the great ones even, when they start out. I'm not sure how teammates are going to react and feel when Connor Cook is struggling, because all quarterbacks are going to struggle. It's how your teammates pick you back up. It's why Blaine Gabbert, Joey Harrington, a lot of quarterback busts didn't work out. I don't think Connor Cook has the elite arm talent, the elite upside, or more importantly, the ability to lead a team as a quarterback to be worth a first-round pick. But that said, the Browns have interest. He's a great fit for the Broncos offense if they want a plug-and-play guy. And the Buffalo Bills are looking for a pro-ready starter as well.
Eric Galco again, Sporting News and Optimal Scouting on the NFL Draft Thursday night in Chicago. Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, we'll digest some of those things he said, the expectations coming up on Thursday. And we say happy birthday to one of my favorite sports personalities, Yahoo Sports Radio. I am Tony D, taking you through the night.